Good morning. It's a Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, The Washington Post, Juneteenth holiday marking the end of slavery becomes law after decades of inaction. The Juneteenth holiday commemorates the events, of course, of June 19th, 1865. That's when Union soldiers brought the news of freedom to enslaved black people in Galveston, Texas, some 2.5 years after President Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation had freed slaves in southern states. In signing the measure, President Biden called for more aggressive action on voting access and other racial equity measures. Of course, many states have already established the Juneteenth holiday, and the country has had a hard time recognizing its role in slavery.
Well, it's not only slavery, of course. It is the residuals of slavery that are being looked at here. Look, there's no question that one of the biggest problems of America has been what happened as we brought people in slavery over to this country and kept them there economically, socially, and every other way. So it is a long overdue holiday. Obviously, we have Martin Luther King Day, which pays some recognition to the plight of our African-American brothers and sisters. But this is really on the money. I'm glad it's happening. And I think the American people will come to understand how important it is for all of us to get in touch with the way in which this country was built. We had the Native Americans, which was a terrible travesty. We also had slavery, which could not have been worse. And when you look back on it, a human being put into chains on the basis of skin pigment, it is something that this country can never be proud of. And yes, it's just the beginning because we are making real progress. We've had a black president of the United States, but by no means do we have economic and social equality in this country. We know it because of our prisons. We know it because of the way that people have been basically economically enslaved. And it is something that has to be dealt with. And David, this is a good way of recognizing what this country has done and what it has to do.
Supreme Court decision on Affordable Care Act, Alan, spurs new strategies on all sides. The ruling prompted some Republicans to admit their hopes of ending the law outright are probably dead. Democrats hoped the ruling would pave the way for more expansions of health coverage. What do you make of that move?
Well, I think that's right. Democrats have been after some kind of universal health care for every American, and it can't be done unless we continue to move forward. Now, I have a feeling some of the votes on the Supreme Court recognize that. They know that if they were to throw out Obamacare, David, they would be faced with people wanting universal health care. And so John Roberts, who is the kingpin on this, who said right from the beginning, the Chief Justice, that he was for keeping it. And he came up with, you know, a rather strained analysis of why we had to keep it. But now, instead of just a very split court, we had a 7-2 decision. And of course, that is a testimonial to the fact that a lot of people on that court say, hey, wait a second now. If we were to throw this thing out, we throw the country into a certain amount of chaos. Millions of people would lose their health care. We would look like dirt, and there would be a continued attempt to revamp the Supreme Court of the United States and maybe to add some members. And that's the last thing the people on the court want right now.
McConnell vowing to block voting bill in the Senate, spurning Manchin's proposed compromise after huddling with his fellow Democratic senators, says The Washington Post. Senator Joe Manchin suggested that he would join with them to at least start debating the sweeping bill, but the pledge from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell all but guarantees that Republicans will filibuster the measure. No, 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 no.
I was just going to say, David, that the Republican Party is one of those places, if you remember the Oz books, it's the kingdom of no. You know, they can make a lot of noise. We want compromise. We really want the American people to have what they need, but we're not going to allow it. And so it will always be no. Now, Manchin is a study because in order to stay elected in West Virginia, he has to be a Republican. In other words, he has to be as close to the Republican line as he can possibly get. And he has all along said that he was a guy who was not in favor of much of what the Democrats wanted. But one wonders what the strategy was and whether or not at the crucial moment, and he may have thought this is the crucial moment, he could come out for some kind of a reasonable compromise on voting rights, for example, which would be adopted by the Republicans. Nothing doing. The Republicans know that if everybody's allowed the right to vote in America, they're done. And they are not going to do that. So they're trying to load the way in which people vote such that they cannot lose. And they are doing everything in their power. It's a disgrace to the history of the United States, the concept of American democracy. And it really is nothing but a cheap, stupid power play.
Finally, Alan, as if we don't talk about it all the time, one more reminder. A California reservoir expected to fall so low that a hydropower plant will shut down for the first time. This is Lake Oroville, the state's second largest reservoir. It dropped precipitously this summer from CNN. An unrelenting drought and record heat, both worsened by the changing climate, have pushed the water supply at Northern California's Lake Oroville to deplete rapidly. Officials will likely be forced to close the Edward Hyatt power plant for the first time since it opened in 1960. What more evidence do we need?
Well, obviously, we need a lot more because it keeps happening. We've got our heads in the sand. We're not doing what we should be doing, and people are resisting. And it's not only a national problem, it's an international problem, too. But let everybody recognize that each of these things, which we will add up to our tote sheet on climate change, is terribly important in terms of giving us a warning. And it is a disgrace that we are not protecting ourselves, our children, our grandchildren, and their children. This is something that needs to be done, and it needs to be done on the highest, most critical levels.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us. Well, as long as the earth is here, Alan, we'll be here to tell you about it.
We will, and David, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be talking to you on Monday.